7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. Happy Friday. It's the doorstep of the weekend. Jim Davis, San. Who doesn't love cake? Especially cake on a Friday.
Morning.
Tyler Franzen. Good morning, Tyler. How are you?
I am swell. How are
you? You're swell.
Yes.
I'm glad you're swell today.
Did a little retail therapy yesterday. So.
Oh, you did? What did you get? What'd you do?
Well, you know, we got summer right around the corner, and I figured might be time for some new shirts. The one I'm currently donning is basically a shirt equivalent of a layer of sunscreen. Because it's got like SPF 50 rated fabric something or other to make it so that I don't, you know, turn into a puddle.
That's good. That's a good thing.
Especially if we're going to hit 90 this weekend. So figured,
You know, like that Baz Luhrmann song, should wear sunscreen.
Not that I don't.
Absolutely. Just, I mean, not, that's not just a piece of advice for our recent high school graduates, but that's just good for everybody. You need to wear sunscreen.
And I
need to do that.
You know, elementary aged me on a couple of days, did not wear the sunscreen and paid very heavy consequences for it.
Yeah. You don't want to look like a lobster.
No.
Eat one, okay.
Sure.
Absolutely. Looking like one, that's not a good look.
Not a good look.
All right, so it is an Apache Friday. We celebrate the start of the weekend. And last night, of course, we had the much ballyhooed. We talked about a lot yesterday. There is truth. Taylor Lewan wrote, the offensive tackle.
Yes.
Titans wrote, I think, tweeted out, you know, is there a more overhyped thing than the NFL schedule release?
No, there's not.
No, there's not.
But here
we are. Or here we were last night.
Bated breath, sucked
in, even though we know exactly who the Broncos are playing. We know who they're playing.
We just didn't know exactly when.
And, of course, we found out last night that the Mile High Report rumor, we're saying, okay, keep in mind, it's fan side. It's not, you know, they're not hard-hitting journalists that are out there, you know, working the beat, right? They're not Shefty. They're our buddy Cody Rourke. No.
Right.
They were right, though, that the Broncos would play Seattle in a primetime game, and it's going to be Monday Night Football, September 12th.
To open up the regular season.
Go to Lumen Field to take on maybe possibly Drew Lock as the starting quarterback. There's some debate whether that he's going to have that job or not.
We'll see.
Geno Smith at the moment, according to even Pete Carroll, has kind of the inside track on that job. But then again, here we are. It's May.
We don't know.
There's a lot of road to cover between now and September 12th.
Training camp is going to be probably the biggest. I mean, you know, we thought, you talk about how hyped the NFL schedule release was. Training camp is going to be nuts. And not just for the Broncos.
It's going to be crazy. And so, yeah, that last night, we'll go through the schedule top of 8 o'clock hour. We always kind of focus on Broncos stuff, pro football stuff. And so we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the Jerry Jeudy situation.
And I have some thoughts on that one.
Yeah, I just...
It's not a good look.
I just don't get it. So I
was thinking about this getting ready this morning.
Okay.
So what we know so far is that, and from the reporting I saw from Kyle Clark at 9 News, was that Jeudy admitted he took his baby mama's wallet and baby formula in retaliation, it seems like, for her taking one of his cell phones. Now, I don't know much about relationships or love, but I do know this. Very often, and I'm not saying this is what happened, but very often, if the girlfriend or the spouse or whoever is going through their partner's phone. They're seeing if they were cheating.
Yeah, she had some suspicions. And my thing is this. He took her stuff, which is wrong, but he took baby formula. That's hurting your child. That's not.
Yeah.
Not that the child was going to starve to death at that moment. Let's not overly dramatize this and make it more than what it is. But still, what do you think you're really going to accomplish by that, Jerry? That's your child's baby formula.
Right.
It smacks of stupid middle school, high school like behavior.
Well, and it reeks of just.
Of immaturity is what it reeks of.
Immaturity and I'll say.
And jackassery.
I'll say, you know, the immaturity and jackassery, as you pointed out, I will say it seems like both parties involved are acting a little immature.
Yeah.
Judy, I think more so, but.
Yeah, you're taking her stuff away. Taking baby formula away. Ugh. I mean, come on. It just, like I said, just smacks of immaturity. You know, and when he didn't go out to San Diego with the rest of the receivers to work out with Russell Wilson, you know, he caught some heat from Broncos country. Well, his mom was in the hospital and, you know, defended him on that kind of thing. Because he's there with his mom. I mean, come on. This is something. There's no way to defend him on this.
No.
This is just, you know, if she was going through his phone because she suspected something, well.
And this is how he reacted?
Yeah, you're not being a good guy to your girlfriend, fiance, whatever their relationship is, what's been established between the two of them, which I don't know what that is.
Right.
But there's obviously a romantic connection there between the two. They have a child together, too. So there's that. Whether it's romantic or not, there's that bond
That's
between
what it
them.
Is.
And this is how you handle that? I just...
And, you know, maybe...
And if you're a guy like Russell Wilson who kind of expects accountability, does expect accountability.
Right.
Can't say that this is going to go over well with the Broncos' new field commander.
Right.
If I'm Russell Wilson, I'm pissed. I'm not happy about this. It's like, come on, man. Be a professional. Professional in your job and a professional human being.
Right.
Don't let this crap turn into something like this. Or you get hauled off to jail. And yes, he's proven innocent until proven guilty. But he admitted the things that he did, though. It's not like
right. This
is all just she said, he said, she said. He said, yeah, I did these things.
And look, let's also address the slight elephant in the room. It did not end up in a physical altercation.
Which is good, that's a positive here, that no hands were laid on anybody in this thing. That's the good thing.
But also, number one, that isn't to say that it could have gotten to that point. And number two, I'm not going to give you praise for doing what you should be doing, which is hit your spouse.
Yeah, you didn't push your head or shove or... Way to go, Jerry.
That's you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, let's not sing his praises for. It's good that nobody got hurt and there was no physical altercation. That's good. Yeah, but let's not act like he's some minor hero because he didn't do that.
Right.
It's just a good outcome that didn't happen.
Right.
He is innocent until proven guilty, but then again, he admitted he did these things.
Right. And we haven't even heard her side of the story, and I doubt we will.
Yeah, I don't know if we will or not. Like I said, probably not. But it's just, come on, for a guy that hopes to have a really big season with a new quarterback and there's no excuses, this is amateur human behavior on the part of Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
Come on. All right, who do we have in the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line?
It's Joel this morning.
Joel, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing fine, Joel. Been a long time. Good to hear from you, Joel.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good to talk to you guys. My schedule's changed up a little bit, and I often don't have the time in the morning anymore, but I was just getting done at the gym and got to obviously see the ESPN tickers yesterday. And it's funny because I've told people, like, from personal perspective, I'll be really transparent. As a young father, I've told people I wasn't one of those born great dads. I kind of grew into being, I think, a good dad. I didn't really have any idea what I was doing with, you know, when they were babies and stuff. But one thing I probably never would have done is, you know, prevent them from eating.
Yes.
I mean, just the immaturity. I mean, it kind of reeks of narcissism, right? Like, I'm going to prevent, to inflict pain on you, I'm going to prevent our child from eating it. It's just a really, really bad look. And again, yeah, it's great that he didn't put hands on her, but gosh, what a horror. It's just a terrible, terrible look.
Yeah, there's no way he comes out as looking like a good guy. I just, yeah, you're denying your child the chance to eat. Like I said, it wasn't like the child was going to probably starve to death at that moment, but still, what is I'm going to take away his binky. What does that prove? It makes you look like an immature ass. To me, if you're Jerry Judy and you're trying to make an impression on Russell Wilson from a professional and personal standpoint, this is not how you go about doing that. Or Broncos country in general. Or any place where you might end up down the road if it doesn't work out in Denver. I just don't get guys that were, Joel, where it gets to this point in their interaction with their significant other, whatever that relationship might be, that it turns into like something from middle school, right? This is middle school behavior on the part of Jerry Judy.
Well, you know, the good thing is we've got a guy, and I think that he's proven this out over the course of his career, whether it was at NC State, whether it was Wisconsin, whether it was Seattle. There probably won't be a whole lot of conversation in the media, but I guarantee you that Russell will be having a conversation with him about this.
Absolutely.
And the way he's conducting himself. And that's, you know, again, it's something that we haven't seen really, somebody that had credibility to do that or cared to do it, you know, since Peyton. And so those things are obviously extremely important. Hey, real quick, I didn't get a chance to talk to you guys after the draft. Jim, what was your take?
You know, I like Nick Bonino. I think that there's a guy that brings in an interesting skill set as a pass rusher. I like Dolchich. The guy's a walk-on. And I get it, you know, he was at UCLA, but I just think there's a lot of things about him and his skill set that if he's half as good as Travis Kelce, which is kind of who I kind of see him as a little bit in terms of his play, they did okay. I think that, you know, the corner out of Pitt, that was a nice addition to their secondary. You know, I think I gave it like a B, Joel, something like that. I wish they would have addressed offensive line more than what they did, the tackle spot more than they did, but I trust in George. He hasn't screwed it up yet, really, right? So but overall, I was fairly pleased with it. I thought it was a good draft by George Payton and his crew.
Yeah, I'm with you. I felt like Bonito, I think, is really underrated.
Yep.
It's funny how guys get on a topic, right? You'll hear this narrative that surrounds a player. Oh, he's not strong enough, you know, this kind of stuff. But I really, that just felt like kind of groupthink on Bonito when I went back and watched. I mean, he does not. Von Miller, there's a reason he's a future Hall of Famer. His first step is explosive.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at, like, bend, flexibility, speed, pursuit, you know, from the backside, you can definitely get a little bit of that vibe, especially with them both in the maroon and white. You know, you can kind of feel that a little bit. I was the same. I can hear all the conversations. A lot of people, I saw an article yesterday in Mile High Report that basically was talking about, oh, here's why we didn't go inside linebacker. They're going to use a nickel or dime safety or corner in that role on passing situations. But still, listen, I understand situational football, but I'd also like a guy that I don't have to, he's not just a package guy, right?
Right.
I want linebackers that I know if they audible into a different set that I can trust them in coverage, and I just don't know, especially if they're still sticking to the narrative that they're moving Browning outside. I don't know that they've got that guy that can cover, and that still seems to be a concern. But I'm with you overall a B. I mean, I like the players. It seemed like good, you know, high character people, high RAS scores. They're all athletes, which I always like. So
right.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Game on the schedule that you're the most excited about?
That Rams game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a good barometer, obviously. You know, Russell knows them. You know, and it's mid-season or later in the season, so you have, you know, the team obviously has had a chance to gel a little bit, and you know, hope you have a good, you know, a good feel. I mean, always the, you know, the conference games, but we know, or the divisional games, we know kind of where that stuff lies. But really, going up against the defending champs, I think, is a really good barometer towards the end of the season to see where you're at.
Yeah, I agree. Christmas Day, by then, you're going to know who you are and what you're capable of doing. I would think at that juncture, whether they're legitimate playoff contenders, AFC championship contenders, or it's still a work in progress for the Broncos. Hey, Joel, always appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Definitely. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. All right, Joel, first in the door. It's been
first
a while.
In the door, yeah.
He's busy, but he's stacking plates today, man. He's working out.
Nose to the grindstone.
Nose to the grindstone. Busy guy. Smart football guy, smart sports guy.
Oh,
always appreciate Joel calling in. All right, 7:16, and got a busy show. Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex will join us. The Avalanche, they will get their old buddy. Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
Ryan O'Reilly and the Blues. Of course, remember they swept the Blues last year in the playoffs.
Yep, that they did.
Last night, the Blues taking care of the Wild. And the Factor was a factor last night for St. Louis, so we'll get Jackson's take on that coming up later on this morning. I believe we're supposed to have somebody from the Young Dubliners in as well. They have that pre-party tonight downtown. And, of course, the Grand Valley Highland Games tomorrow and Sunday at the Mesa County Fairgrounds.
Get so, tickets. We have tickets for that today to give away on the show today.
Okay, so we can package that with for Where in the World is Tyler France in the case of Fat Tire. So
perfect.
Beer and Grand Valley Highland tickets, which you're going to have to pick that up today.
Yes.
Because it's this weekend. And so, by the way, Grand Valley Highland Games, the Scottish and Celtic Festival, they're doing jousting this year for the first time.
Love it.
I just think that's so crazy.
Love it.
That they're doing jousting. But if you haven't been out there watching the guys tossing the caber and picking up the stones and all the heavy athletic stuff is cool. The bands they have out there are amazing. Whiskey tasting, great food, stuff for the kids to do. Not the whiskey tasting, but other stuff for the kids to do. It's appropriate. Tomorrow, 9 in the morning until 10, and then Sunday from 9 in the morning until 5. GrandValleyHighlandGames.com. So get out there and check it out. Or if you can't make it out there, go take in some of the RMAC baseball tournament. Mavericks, we're going to talk about that. You'll hear from Chris Hanks coming up in a little bit, back half of this hour. Mavericks falling to CSU Pueblo yesterday, 6-5. Edwin Corrales, the pitcher for the Thunderwolves that came in relief, just shut him down. Mavericks hit the back-to-back-to-back home runs, McGarry, Bramwell, Villafuerte, and you're thinking, okay, here we go.
Here's the run. Here's the rally.
You know, they all ended up out in McGarryville out in left field. You're thinking, okay, here we all go. Right. This is CSU Pueblo grabbed the early lead. And then they just never could quite get the momentum back offensively. Corrales just came in and really pitched well against them. And sometimes you have to dip your cap to somebody. I think he had 6 strikeouts yesterday coming in relief for Bobby Applegate's team. But Mavs still got a chance in this whole thing. They've been down this road before where they've had to battle back through the loser's bracket. So right. 11 o'clock this morning, they'll take on Colorado School of Mines. And you and Greg will have that one this morning. From Bergman. So coming up later on this morning, pregame at 10:45. Let's go ahead and jump into
what's happening.
All right, we start things out with last night. The schedule came out. New Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson will open the season where he started his career. As the NFL unveiled the schedule last night, Denver will play in Seattle on Monday Night Football, September 12th, and they'll face former Broncos quarterback Drew Lock. Denver returns home for back-to-back home games against Houston September 18th, and then a Sunday night football game against San Francisco September 25th. The Broncos' first AFC West game is the next weekend when they play at Las Vegas. October 2nd. Denver plays their London game against Jacksonville October 30th. They face defending AFC West champion Kansas City in Denver December 12th. Broncos also have a Christmas Day game at the defending Super Bowl champion LA Rams. You can catch Broncos football all season long on the Team Sports Network. Keeping it on the Broncos, this not a low light for the Broncos, with the schedule at least being the highlight yesterday. Broncos wideout Jerry Jeudy arrested by the Arapahoe County Sheriff's Office. Arapahoe Sheriff's Office tweeting that Jeudy was arrested for second-degree criminal tampering with a domestic violence enhancer, which is a misdemeanor charge. He's on a no-bond hold. 9 News' Kyle Clark reporting Jeudy admitted investigators he locked away a wallet belonging to his child's mother along with baby formula because she took a phone belonging to him. Jeudy is reportedly expected to make a court appearance today. The Avalanche will get a playoff rematch with former Av Ryan O'Reilly after the St. Louis Blues defeated Minnesota last night to win their playoff series. Colorado faced St. Louis last season in the first round and swept the Blues. The two teams' only other playoff matchup goes back to Colorado's 2001 Stanley Cup winning season when the Avs won the Western Conference Finals in 6 games. The NHL will release the schedule today or tomorrow, and that series could start as early as Monday right here on the team. The 14th-ranked Colorado Mesa baseball team fell short to the CSU Pueblo Thunderwolves in the RMAC tournament with a 6-5 loss yesterday at Bergman. Despite 3 consecutive home runs from Player of the Year Hayden McGeary, Spencer Bramwell, and Conrad Villafuerte in the third inning, CMU could not hold the lead. Mavs skipper Chris Hank says they're going to go about things, or they went about things yesterday like it was a victory, and they'll come out ready today as they try to stay alive in the RMAC baseball tournament.
The teams that win have short memories, whether they win or lose. And you bounce back. We're going to turn on the music in the clubhouse. We're going to act as if we knew success today, and we come back tomorrow.
Mavericks take on Colorado School of Mines this morning at 11 at Bergman Field, pregame at 10:45 on the Team Sports Network. Fruit of Monma Boys Lacrosse team outlasted Dakota Ridge 13-12 in overtime to advance in the 5A state tournament. They now get the defending 5A state champion Mountain Vista tomorrow on the Front Range in the second round. The Eagles are the 5 seed and are tied for the most goals scored in 5A this season. Wildcats head coach Kevin Costanza says they're a loaded squad.
Playing a great opponent, and they've got a phenomenal team loaded with a bunch of juniors and seniors.
That is 2 o'clock tomorrow over on the Front Range. Central girls soccer team, they beat Holy Family 2-1 Wednesday in the 4A state soccer tournament. It's the Warriors' first playoff win in soccer for either gender. And that win gets them a date with top-seeded Windsor tomorrow on the Front Range. The Wizards are 11-1 in the season, and they're scoring just under 5 goals per game. Warriors head coach Doug Beach says as long as Central can get there, get on the field, they feel like they've got a shot at taking down the top seed.
It is a winnable game, and that's what I'm trying to convince the girls. It is a winnable game. We beat Holy Family 2-1, and they lost to Windsor 1-0. So, I mean, think we have a shot.
And that is tomorrow over in Windsor. And that's a quick look at
what's happening.
All right, Jim, along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. So, got some thoughts about the schedule. Game that you're looking forward to the most. Which one would that be? If you got some thoughts on the Jerry Jeudy situation. Without knowing all the particulars, just knowing what we do know and what he's admitted to. Personal immaturity. Initially, you kind of feel like, okay, it doesn't mean that he's not going to be a professional about what he does.
Right.
But there is a connection there between how you conduct yourself and how you conduct your business as your occupation.
Right.
Your vocation. There is a connection to that. Because now, you know, with what's happened here, I mean, this has an impact on what he does as a professional.
Right.
Got hauled up by the cops. That's not a good look. No employer likes that. No employer wants to see their employees arrested.
And this is just a sort of, oh, that's interesting. Someone pointed this out on Twitter that if you looked at Google Maps, the Arapahoe County Detention Center is literally right behind and across the street from the UC Health Broncos training facility.
It's
the irony.
Yeah.
And look, when we were talking with Joel earlier this morning, he pointed out that Russell Wilson is probably going to have a conversation with Jerry Jeudy. Now, if I know anything about Russell Wilson, it's number one, he's a man of deep-rooted faith. And number two, he's been in bad relationships before he met his current wife, Sierra. And if he's going to be anything, he's going to be tough on him, but he's probably also going to maybe not offer forgiveness right away, but maybe just a little bit of, look, we can work this out. We can still be a great dynamic duo on the field, but this has got to be something you personally need to address and your home life mess situation, whatever it is.
Get your business straightened out.
Get your ducks in a row.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and like, he's had a little run-in with the law before. He's found guilty of speeding, which, come on, I've got a speeding ticket more than once in my life. I'll be full disclosure. No, full disclosure, you know. He was exceeding the speed limit, 10 to 19 miles per hour of the 75-mile-per-hour limit, which, you know, that does not make him post office, you know, FBI most wanted.
Right.
Let's be honest about that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't speed. It's a bad thing to do. And it occurred in Arapahoe County, by the way. So he's already had some interaction
with.
I don't know if that was Sheriff's Department or if that was Highway Patrol. Whoever. I mean, it's when they say it's not his first run with the law. Yeah, it's he got pulled over for speeding. It's not great. It's not. But it's
also not Henry Ruggs.
It's not. Yes, in leading. You know, driving 120 miles an hour and killing somebody.
While drunk
out of your mind. That's Alabama wide receivers, it's not been a good couple of years for them.
Yeah.
So, got some thoughts on it today. I mean, he hasn't proved anything yet as a Bronco. And this is the kind of stuff where you've got a fresh start.
With a great quarterback.
With a quarterback that's going to get you the football.
That wants to get you the football.
Yeah, and that really views you as a really lethal weapon in this offense. You don't need to be out having this kind of dust up negative interaction with your child's mom where you end up getting arrested by the cops. Got some thoughts today. Text or call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. 970-242-1340. We'll take a break and return with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 7:31. Jim and Cake today, Jim Davis Show from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Schedule came out last night. Which game do you kind of have circled on your calendar? Got some thoughts about the Jerry Jeudy situation. Avs get the Blues. Could start as early as Monday. Is this new Black Keys?
It is. It is called For the Love of Money from their Dropout Boogie album.
Which drops today, by the way, from Dan and Pat. It's a band that I wish I would have seen at a place like the Belly Up or smaller venue. We saw them at the artist formerly known as the Pepsi Center.
Right.
Now Ball Arena. I got us terrible seats. That's why I'm not in charge of getting tickets anymore because I do a terrible job with it. And they were great, but it would have been a more intimate setting would have been better for a band like the
smaller venue. Yeah,
it would have been much better.
I can totally see that.
All right. So text or call today, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Before we talk a little Rockies baseball, got Howard from Fruit on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Good morning, Howard. How are you on this fine Friday?
Real good. How's it going, guys?
It's going well, Howard.
I don't know what it is about players who they can be read the personal conduct policy by their agent, by their mother, by their next-door neighbor, but it all comes down to one thing. A lot of people just think they're bulletproof. They're not.
Yeah, I just think, you know, even, you know, contractually, yes, there's a code of conduct you're supposed to adhere to. But how about just the human contract? How about just not act like a jackass? How about act like a grown man and if you're doing something, allegedly if he was cheating on her and she takes your phone, what you're gonna lock up the baby formula? I mean, I just number one, that comes off as so pathetic and weak and petty and just punitive against an innocent child. It's just stupid. I don't. Jerry Jeudy didn't come off as that kind of guy, and no. You know, we shouldn't, like I always say, shouldn't be judged by our worst moment. But this is a pretty bad look for Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, it is. Damn sure is.
Yeah, I mean, when he admits to it, Howard, that's the thing. It's one thing, okay, he's innocent until proven guilty, and we haven't really heard his side of the story. Well, we have heard his side of the story. Was, yeah, he did these things by his own admission. And so when you have the guy that's accused admitting that he did the things that he did, there's no sympathy here for me.
Yep. You've said everything that I was going to say. That's all there is to it.
I'm sorry, Howard. I didn't mean to steal your thunder, sir.
That's all right. Let me move it on to the schedule.
Okay, I will shut up about that. I'll shut up about that. Tell me what you think of the schedule.
I'll tell you what, Jim. We've got a lot of winnable games here. We open up against Seattle. We've got Houston. Frisco, that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
Raiders will be, too. Indianapolis, I think that's a winnable game. I do. Chargers is tough. New York Jets, that's a very winnable game. Same with Jacksonville. Tennessee, that's not going to be easy. Getting back to Las Vegas, I don't do very good at predicting, you know, at this time of the year. But I think we're going to do okay. I really do. It all depends on the first two or three weeks of the season. Just let's take care of business and get going. Just let it rip, you know.
Yeah, I think the initial concern is, how quickly does this offense come together? Because there are a lot of moving parts here. You got a veteran quarterback, but you got a new quarterback. It's a new system, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. I mean, it's an entirely new coaching staff. And while some of the faces are the same and familiar, there's the key guys are new to this organization. And how quickly Nathaniel Hackett is a first-year head coach. Can he get this team to come together?
Yes.
And how quickly can this offense gel? Well, the line of communication, you know, which seems to be going to be really good with Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson, because Peyton Manning has said this, he thinks this is really good because they're all starting on the same page at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that is actually going to be a benefit to Russell Wilson moving forward. Let us hope that the PFM is spot on about that. He's very seldom wrong about things involving football. So I'm excited about it. I agree with you. I think the first few weeks, you know, that San Francisco game will be an early big test for this team. But I'm excited about it. I think it was a great idea by the league to have the Broncos play at Seattle Monday Night Football. I mean, come on, that's must-watch TV, I think, not just for Broncos country, but for a lot of football fans. I mean,
I noticed we've got several primetime games, Sunday night, the NFL channel, etc. It looks like we've got either four or five. I don't have the schedule right in front of me.
Right.
That's good there. If I'm looking forward to any particular game, it's obviously Kansas City. We now haven't beaten them since 2015 season, and I'm sure that to me we've got to beat these guys.
At 10 straight losses, you get them at home first. I mean, you get them toward the back half of the season, which is kind of interesting. But Denver plays them in January, in December, and so yeah. By the time they face Kansas City, I mean you've had a test against San Francisco. We're going to see how much the Raiders have improved. Colts are a team that, with their own new quarterback and Matt Ryan, that does have a roster that is a playoff caliber roster. You know, you got the Chargers. A lot of buzz about the Chargers and what they've done, and so it's some very winnable games against some really strong tests for the Broncos early on in the season. No doubt about that. Hey, Howard, have a great weekend. Thanks for calling in this morning. Sorry, I stole your thunder about Jerry Jeudy.
Not that big a deal. Just one more comment, and I'll let you go.
Sure.
If Russell Wilson and all of the new people coming in, you know, question why the Chiefs are such a big a deal, during the AFL days, the total games won by the Denver Broncos playing the Chiefs is one. 19 losses and one. It's the hammer and nail theory. We're the nail, they're the hammer, and that's taking humiliation to the next level. And it took us forever to get halfway close, and then we finally did. And now we're back to losing 11, 12 straight all over again. All right, Jim, you guys, always love listening to you guys. Take care.
Thank you, Howard. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend, my friend. All right, Howard from Fruita this morning.
Looking at the overall schedule and doing some quick math, which could be wrong because, you know, it's me. An AFC West team will play in a primetime game at some point 14 times this year.
Yeah.
With an AFC West-centric matchup happening in primetime probably three or four times, and that's not including Week 18 where one of those games could be moved around, you know, some shuffling could happen.
With the flex, yeah.
Yeah, so you're talking about, I mean, almost half of games being in prime time for the AFC West this year. So any AFC West game that's going to be on TV at some point is going to be a marquee matchup. And, you know, to answer the question, which we want you to answer at our Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone or text line, 970-242-1340, the game I'm looking forward to the most on the schedule is that first one.
Yeah.
I want to see what Russell Wilson can do against his former team. It's the rip the Band-Aid off, right?
Right.
Because if this game were scheduled, say, week 10, week 12, you know, or at some point towards the middle of the season, it would be the only thing people would be talking about for the duration of the schedule.
I mean, this would have been like if the Broncos had played at the Colts.
Right.
When Manning was there, year one, 2012. Right. And there's going to be a lot of emotion for Russell Wilson. Be a lot of emotion for Seattle Seahawks fans.
Oh, yeah.
Some now hate Russell Wilson. Others, much I, okay, I don't
doubt.
Get.
I mean, well.
Well.
If you're a
Derwin Worrell over at KRX News Channel 5, Seahawks fan, he was glad to see him go. Does not like Russell Wilson.
Okay.
But then our good friend Dave Yonke, diehard Seattle Seahawks fan, CMU's crack sports information director. I saw tears in Dave's eyes. You know, they signed the day after the trade. I was concerned about his mental health and his well-being. I consider Yonke a friend, and I wanted him to be okay. And he was like, "Where are you going? We're right. Let's see Russell Wilson." But I mean, there's gonna be a lot of emotion that night. It's Monday Night Football. I mean, I agree with you. It's ripped the Band-Aid off. Here we go. Goes back to his old stomping grounds, Lumen Field, the 12th man, all that. Now this time he's going to be on the receiving end of boos and those kind of things as the Broncos quarterback. You know, I think the game, though, I mean, I think it's kind of a given the first game is going to be the one a lot of people are most excited about. I'm looking early on, big test, the Niners.
That is a big one.
Here's a team that beat the Packers in the playoffs last year. Got to the NFC Championship game, lost a close game to the Rams, your eventual Super Bowl champion. That will be a test of if the Broncos, remember how quickly they've come together and how competitive they are. That's, I mean, they're going to be at home, but I think that's, to me, going to be an early litmus test of where Nathaniel Hackett has this team. Right. So if you got some thoughts today on it, text or call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. All right, the Rockies had the day off yesterday. Thank goodness, after losing now 10 straight to the San Francisco Giants, got swept in San Francisco. Or they said it was a terrible road trip. They won the one game at Arizona, and that was it. The Rockies have lost 8 of 9 on the road. And so, you know, well, look, double play-wise, Rockies pitchers have been really good this season in inducing double play balls. Their 43 double plays lead the majors. But, they've been really bad defensively otherwise. Ryan McMahon, looking at you, my friend.
Ooh.
5 errors already this season.
Yay.
Rockies are dead last. Even with all those double plays, they're dead last in fielding percentage.
Oh, great.
Dodgers the best, by the way.
Oh, shocker.
And so, you know, this is a problem for Bud Black right now. An offense that went absolutely in the deep freeze during that road trip.
Two
Arizona and California, sunny places, but the bats were ice cold. And so now they're back at Coors Field, where you would think, okay, they've been really good at home this season, and a chance to get the ship righted. We will find out as they take on Kansas City. Royals are 10-19. Rockies are 16-15. So at least they're above water at the moment. And Kansas City, they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. They're fourth in the AL Central. Rockies are 4-6 in their last 10. And they're in last place in the division, despite having a winning record. But that goes to show how good the National League West is, obviously. So tonight, Rockies, and we'll have the game if Colorado Mesa baseball does not play tonight. So we're, no offense to the Rockies, we're hoping there's Colorado Mesa baseball tonight.
We're hoping.
Because that means that they beat Mines today over at Bergman. So we will, if the Mavericks do not win that game, we will have the Rockies tonight. Pregame at 6, first pitch at 6:40. Zach Greinke. Back in Kansas City after making a trip to Arizona, and he was at Houston for a while.
I forgot he was.
He started out as a Kansas City Royal. He's 0-2, decent ERA of 2.67. So Greinke's on the bump for the Royals. Kyle Freeland, who his last outing pitched pretty well, looked like maybe starting to turn the corner a little bit, 1-3, 3.94 ERA, has 26 strikeouts coming in. So that is your pitching matchup, Greinke and Freeland tonight. Once again, we will have the game if we do not have Colorado Mesa baseball. So do keep that in mind. All right, speaking of Maverick baseball, you'll hear from Chris Hanks coming up in a moment. The post game from yesterday's loss to CSU Pueblo, that's on the way. But right now it's time for Soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Tyler?
Jim, did you ever take anything from your siblings or vice versa?
I'm sure I did.
Okay.
I don't think my brothers were quite a bit older than me. They probably took stuff just to harass me, but...
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure it probably went both ways.
So ESPN's NBA Today, Malika Andrews is hosting, and her sister Kendra is out in the field doing a report on the Warriors, Draymond Green. And at the end of the segment, Malika notices something on her sister's hand.
Now, Draymond understands that he has to play with a certain level of mindfulness throughout the rest of the playoffs, right? He can't pick up much more flagrant points or else it could result in a suspension. But Malika, we all know that Draymond wears his reputation like a badge of honor. And he said, I will not take any bite out of the way that I play, because then we're going to go home early and any of those flagrant points, they're not going to matter anymore.
Well, they're going to need Draymond Green for this series and beyond. Kendra, thank you so much. Is that my watch?
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Yes.
That's my watch. That is my watch.
Richard, wow. How would I have taken your watch?
Yeah, that, look, I'm going to stay out of this.
Wait a minute. I've been looking for that watch for the last 3 weeks. What? Now I know where it went.
It's so funny because they're on live TV and there's the satellite delay. So when she asks,
right,
is that my watch, the pause is not like... Her sister denying it. She's just waiting for to hear the question, and then she's like, no, how could I have taken your watch? And it's like,
no, what do you mean? It just looks like your watch. No, it's not really your watch.
Yeah,
so it's not really your watch.
Saw that clip and I'm like, oh, that's
pretty good. All right, 7:48. We'll look back at the Mavericks' loss to CSU Pueblo yesterday in the RMAC tournament. That's coming up on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa. The Team.
Welcome back. 7:51, Jim and Cake today. Schedule came out last night. Game on the Broncos schedule. You're looking maybe the top three, right? Because they're all looking forward to Broncos at Seattle to open up the season.
It's Monday Night Football.
Yeah. So, of course, we're pumped about that. But after that, though, the game that you're the most excited for. So, send that to us. Got some thoughts about the Jerry Jeudy situation. Ugh. extremely disappointing and unnecessary.
Yeah.
All right. So yesterday, the Copper Mesa Mavericks, they had the wild win over UCCS on Thursday night. They faced CSU Pueblo yesterday over at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex. Mavericks coming off that sweep against CSU Pueblo at Bergman to end the regular season, where they nailed down their 10th straight RMAC regular season title. And for the Mavericks yesterday, they fall 6-5 to CSU Pueblo. Both teams had 8 hits apiece yesterday. But you thought, you know, at one point for the Mavericks, where it was that third inning where you had the 3 consecutive home runs, Hayden McGeary, Spencer Bramwell, Conrad Villafuerte, that the Mavericks had quickly regained the lead after being down early in the game, but they could not find an answer against Edwin Corrales, who came on, worked 5 innings of relief, gave up just 2 hits, did not give up a run and 6 strikeouts to shut down the Mavericks the rest of the way.
Whew.
So after the game, the Buckeye boy, Rio Van Gilder, had the chance to go down and talk with the skipper, Chris Hanks, about the Maverick loss.
Here with head coach Chris Hanks, 6-5 loss to CSU Pueblo. What did you have to say to them? You saw you gathered the team in front of the dugout. What was the message?
I told them it was my fault. There were 2 opportunities where I could have called a bunt and I didn't. We hit into double plays. We didn't execute. I mean, I could have changed that game. Now, granted, we got to get the bunts down and move the runners, but you know, it's baseball. We were playing for more of a big inning there in the middle part of the game. I didn't really want to bunt till later in the game, but as it turned out, we didn't have any more chances to move guys up with bunts. So I just told them this is tournament play, man. The teams that win have short memories, whether they win or lose. And you bounce back. We're going to turn on the music in the clubhouse. We're going to act as if we knew success today, and we come back tomorrow.
When we talked to you before the game earlier this morning, you said you felt Pratt was their best pitcher.
Yeah.
And with the exception of 4 or 5 pitches there in the third inning, he seemed to really keep you guys off balance. And then Corrales, off-speed stuff, had you guys out in front quite a bit. What's the adjustments to make as you guys go forward tomorrow morning?
Well, we just got to be a little tougher. You know, the Corrales kid pitched good for Pueblo. You know, we got to Pratt with the 3 home runs. I thought at the time that helped us, but I think it affected our approach with those kids in the next at bat. I thought the swings got big, and you know, there's a tendency for guys to think about hitting another home run, and I think those kids all struck out the next time. And you know, so I think our approach hurt us, me not bunting hurt us, you know, and we had some opportunities. We didn't get a timely hit with runners in scoring position in the limited opportunities we had. And you know, some leadoff walks again hurt us. I thought they hurt us last night. Pitching behind still a little bit too much. And obviously we got to get that corrected.
All right, so the Mavericks take the loss. They will face Colorado School of Mines, who lost to Metro State yesterday. So that will be the matchup today for the Mavericks. Mines falling 6-4 to Metro State. Pre-game today, 10:45, right here on the Team Sports Network. Tyler and Greg will have that one for you on the team.